CyberWorks Podcast. Learn anytime, anyplace.
Welcome to the next episode of the CyberWorks e-learning podcast series. I am Mary Kay Laferno, Marketing Director for CyberWorks Incorporated, and your host today. CyberWorks specializes in custom e-learning solutions, learning management systems, and custom e-learning development for corporations, governments, and nonprofit organizations. Today, we are talking again with Jim Kassane, a noted workforce development expert, author of the Workforce Development blog, and a fellow at RedVector.com, an engineering and construction-focused e-learning content company. In today's podcast, we will be talking about whether there really is a workforce shortage, so stay tuned for some interesting discussion about this controversial topic. Now we will begin our interview with Jim Kassane, a noted workforce development expert and author of the Workforce Development blog, on the subject of whether there really is a labor shortage being felt in today's workplace.
All right. Good afternoon, Jim. It's great to have you here with us today.
It's great to be here, Mary Kay.
Jim, for the folks who didn't listen to our last interview with you on generational workforce trends, please tell us a bit about yourself before we get started.
Be glad to. I've been involved in the workforce development arena for about 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
Started working in workforce development with the U.S. Army in the late 1960s, and spent about 30 years working in business turnarounds across multiple industries, during which I experienced some very common issues and solutions as relates to workforce development. And currently in my capacity as a research fellow with Red Vector, I'm able to apply yet another perspective and to help educate organizations about what some of the common issues and solutions are as relates to workforce development.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Well, today's topic is pretty controversial, and I've read a lot about it online. I've commented myself on it on several different blogs. And so why don't we just get to it? Jim, why do companies / people claim that there's a skilled worker shortage out there? We all know people that don't have jobs, so sometimes it's kind of hard to believe that.
Well, it's sometimes confusing when you take a look at some of the apparent unemployment statistics, and yet people are claiming that we have a workforce skills shortage. And there's a relationship between those two. When we get down to the levels of unemployment that we currently have in this country, you can pretty much say that you have full employment. So with the unemployment statistics that have been for the past few years running at that level, anybody who wants to work usually can find a job. Now, it's quite frankly sort of difficult, time-consuming, and costly for organizations today to source the workers that possess the specific kind of skill sets that are needed for today's jobs. The lack of workers across all organizations tends to increase cost, it reduces the production capacity, hammers your profits, and it imperils the very quality of the goods and the services we provide. And it's not just a feeling people have, but it's been surveyed numerous times by a variety of different government agencies, think tanks, and business groups worldwide that are all concerned about the implications of the shortages of skilled workers.
Okay. So is there any data to support their claim?
Oh, mountains of data. Mountains of data. The growing shortage of workers in the United States that are projected, for example, by 2010, the phenomenon that we're going to be looking at is we are going to have about a 10 million worker shortfall in terms of skilled workforce jobs, and that comes from sources like the Employment Policy Foundation and projections of the Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The other dimension that has been widely researched and published, both the Domestic Agency Bureau and the International Bureau of the Census Bureau has found that there's a flat or shrinking native population in almost all of the industrialized countries.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing across the board a consistent trend. We're seeing that if you look at the Census Bureau's international database, they're projecting a much older workforce from now until 2010, where the percentage is almost 50% of our workforce is going to be 55 to 64 in age, and it's going to just keep shifting to the right. So it suggests that for the rest of our working lives, we're going to be seeing a much older workforce on one side of the equation, but unfortunately, we're going to see what I'll call your middle-aged workers that are in the 35 to 45 age range. That percentage of people in the workforce is actually declining.
Well, if you're an HR department, what are some of the factors you can control? Because these are factors beyond most the control of most HR people.
Well, yes, they are. There are many things that HR can administrate and control, and management can control. For example, the relationship that exists between labor and management
mm-hmm.
is certainly within their control. Unsafe working conditions, excessive workload, poor supervision or poor overall management, poor planning, excessive micromanagement, in providing people with the kind of tools, technology, and equipment they need to do their jobs. These are things that are absolutely within the control of the company.
Along the same lines, what about factors that they can't control?
Well, there's a lot of factors over which you can't control, some of them global, but getting down to the immediate things that companies typically think about, but they are factors that influence recruitment and retention are things, for example, travel distance
mm-hmm.
from the worker's residence to the job. You know, when we're talking about $3 a gallon for fuel,
sure.
All of a sudden, your weekly fuel cost becomes a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people, especially as the costs of living increase, and remember that we've had a period of the last 5 or 6 years where there's really been no net increase in terms of personal net income. So because people are still looking for things to buy and things to do, it's not uncommon for them to be looking for second jobs. And sometimes the availability of a second job or overtime on another job may influence whether they're able to, put in more than 40 hours on your job. The other things, of course, that are historically true are things like personal issues, family interest, illness, are things that nobody can control. These things happen on an ad hoc basis.
How does this impact today's managers seeking to maintain an adequate pool of talent?
In order to maintain an adequate pool of talent, and this is really what the whole war for talent issue is all about, it has to be fought on basically three fronts. Recruitment, retention, and staff development and utilization. We have to be cognizant of and in the forefront of our minds all the time what the real reasons why people leave companies are. It's typically a poor supervisory relationship, lack of appreciation or feeling of value, a non-conducive corporate culture, workplace conflict that doesn't get resolved, a poor reputation of the company, a lack of clarity or mission, burdensome rules, red tape, and the lack of opportunities for learning or broadening skills. If you have any of these foundational issues, it's going to be difficult to recruit people, to retain people, and you'll find that people who have put in their 20 or 30 years and are now eligible for retirement are going to be wanting to bolt for the door.
Mm-hmm.
So these reasons that influence whether you can keep the people you have are also major reasons why you may not be able to attract the people you want.
So it all sounds really good. What are some of the unknowns that we need to be aware of in this marketplace as we're, you know, out there battling for talent?
Boy, that's a great question. The jury is still out on some of the important factors that could drive this market one direction or another. For example, in terms of immigration, will our nation or other nations be willing to change their policies to encourage faster immigration? There are some countries, for example, in Canada, that are very progressive in terms of coming up with a rational approach to immigration that balances, if you will, kind of a balanced scorecard approach to the attractiveness of an immigrant that's looking at coming into their country to secure work. We're not doing quite so well, as anybody who watches the evening news can attest. Outsourcing is another factor. How fast will it continue to develop? What countries will it pop up in? Which industries will be affected? And where and when will that occur? Take case in point, the shipbuilding industry. Over the last 50 years, the shipbuilding industry has found itself in four different parts of the world based solely upon access to the kind of talent that they need. Retirement is another one of the jump balls. You know, what's going to happen to the average retirement age? Studies now seem to indicate that people will be working longer and further into their retirement years. What will happen is the average retirement age changes. What are the influences there? Certainly, if people continue to work in a traditional employment model where you get to 65 and then you drop off the face of the earth, that is going to end up bottlenecking people that are in your mid-career tiers where they're going to feel they have access to fewer opportunities and you may end up losing them. So the whole model having to do with whether companies will change their philosophy and their methodology for how they manage talent from, you know, the early stages of employment to post-retirement years is a big question. Many organizations are talking about it. Not a lot has been done, unfortunately, about that issue. And, of course, the overriding factor tends to be economic. Will people work longer as their savings or assets erode in value? That's a big issue right now as everybody looks at the declining value of the U.S. dollar. And then what about the increasing cost of health care? Will that be brought under control? Factors like this all work together to determine whether or not the workforce issue gets bigger or smaller over the course of time.
Well, that's true. Well, this has been very informative, Jim, and I really appreciate it. I know you have to fly, so thanks for joining us today. It's been great to have you, and hopefully we'll be able to have you back sometime soon.
You're welcome. Talk with you soon, Mary Kay.
Thanks. This is Mary Kay Laferno, Marketing Director at CyberWorks. Thank you for joining us today with our second interview with workforce development expert Jim Kassane, who's also a fellow at Red Vector. We've enjoyed talking with you today. Have a great week.
CyberWorks Podcast. Learn anytime, anyplace.